Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I have with me my good friend, Mr. Matt Rainey, and I'm sure we're going to have a couple of comments you'll be interested in. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
How
are you?
I'm good. Except for that little, that noise you got in my ear there.
Just on one of my, still in the middle of one of my little hiatuses.
Yes. Yes, vacation Matt is what we're going to go with.
I don't know that many, do I? I guess more than the average.
More than the average tech. Lessons. Yeah, more than the average tech. That's why we all got to get to the point where we have Matt Rainey money, Matt Rainey supervisory roles, and a type of job where you can sit in your office. And do you wear shorts when you go to the office?
Not usually. I could. I did for a while, especially when it was middle of summer and kind of hot. And I almost did yesterday because our AC was out, but it got fixed. So,
yeah, I think I've worn shorts to the office once, not counting Saturdays when I come in. I may come in just to catch up on paperwork and stuff, but that's no big deal. But during the week, no.
Oh, yeah, I've done it.
All right. All right, my friend. So this is it's an interesting little night here. I want to hear, because we've already posted a special show that I'm sure you enjoyed very much.
I did. I was surprised by this show. I'm happy.
Surprised how?
Well, that you are finally watching at least the movies that are required viewing.
Required view. And I watched it. You heard me. I watched it in its entirety from start to finish.
That's good. I've done that 100 times.
That's too bad. So what were... your thoughts?
Four episodes, 4, 5, and 6. Let me clarify.
Okay.
The 1, 2, and 3, I've seen them once or twice. Those aren't, to me, that great. But 4, 5, and 6. Okay. I do have to clarify one thing.
Uh-oh. All right.
My point where I said, why did they go around the planet to shoot the moon?
Mm-hmm.
And had this, I know he mentioned that maybe there's a recharge time. Okay, for that, I'll point to Return of the Jedi, where the new Death Star is firing.
Okay, but you have to remember,
this is a few years.
I haven't seen these movies, so I have to go from the standpoint of, I'm watching the first one, I don't understand, I don't know.
We won't foreshadow to how fast they refired their primary weapon in Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Let's assume that for some reason they didn't think about just... Okay. If you fire that thing at the planet that the moon is orbiting... Let me back up. First of all, a moon orbits the planet, right?
It's supposed to, yes.
At some point when the Death Star is going toward the planet with the moon, at some point that moon was on the side that the Death Star was on. And that laser, I'm sure, can fire at a pretty far distance.
So, but that was a point of clarification where I think Brad was trying to tell me that when you're going through hyperspace and you've got to come out, you know, to the point of the way the movie made it sound is that they came out of hyperspace, they were literally right in front of the planet, and they had to make a comment of like, we're going into orbit.
Okay.
Which I thought, why do you have to go into orbit? Why can't you just fly around to the other side?
Okay, so let's just say they shot the planet from where they were at the beginning.
Right.
the devastation of that planet ripping into pieces is going to devastate the moon that's orbiting. Wouldn't you expect some shrapnel to hit the planet to hit the moon if a planet's exploding?
Well, you're going to wreck the moon anyway by gravitational forces.
Right. And the moon will spin off. Mm-hmm. It'll be rained down with shrapnel from the planet. I don't think you had to go around. I think you could have just shot the planet. And if that didn't completely annihilate the moon, you could just wait and fire again.
Yeah, true. That was my point of just shoot the planet and then wait.
Yeah.
I mean, if it takes you 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, the moon's not going anywhere.
I think it would have been done. They got the planet. The moon would have been done.
Yeah.
They would be too busy trying to save whoever's on that moon base to worry about the Death Star.
Absolutely. All right.
That's one comment. That's a good show because there's so many things I could point out, but I just want to clarify that. I think that, I'm not going to reference that because you haven't seen those movies either.
It's hard for you guys, isn't it? Because you're looking at me and thinking, why don't you? And I don't know.
Well, I can't reference something else because, in fact, if you're going in order, you won't even see this until the last movie that came out. So it's going to be a while.
That's going to be 9 months from now.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I think I only have time to watch one a month. That's what I've committed to. You
know what I did the past few days? Most all day Sunday, a little bit Monday night, and a little bit Tuesday night. You know what I did? You're never going to guess, so don't try.
Rewatched the Hall of Fame classic?
Okay, me and the family watched all six Sharknado movies.
On purpose?
Yes. Boy, were they bad.
I was going to say. The whole family. Who drew the short straw to pick the movie?
Well, they had a marathon.
Had to say, let's watch this.
Yeah, I think I did. My daughter liked the first one, and they had a marathon. I said, I recorded them all. I said, let's just watch them. So they did, and the sixth one was, you couldn't even follow it.
Okay,
I didn't even know
there was six.
Yeah, I didn't either until the marathon came on.
I thought after two, that was enough.
So if I had time to watch six Sharknado movies.
Well, that's on you.
3 days.
That's on you.
Surely you could watch the Star Wars movies.
Well, no. Here's the thing. We're coming into football season.
Oh, that's true. I understand.
So both college and pro.
Yeah. But see, I only watch football on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, and sometimes Saturdays. That's it. I limit it to 3, sometimes 4 days a week.
So you're going to squeeze in all your marathons the other nights?
Okay. So I have another announcement. You may not have heard this by now, but do you know what is coming on? A new series is coming on?
Oh, the wife told me. The wife.
Come on. Remember.
I forgot. It's a new Jean-Luc Picard is coming back.
Yes. Yes. A new series around Jean-Luc Picard. Now, it is on CBS All Access.
Well, and that's where I have to decide if I'm going to pay, which means in my world, something else has got to go.
Well, I'm going to probably wait till they're all out. That way I can watch Discovery or whatever it's called, and then Jean-Luc. But that's really tempting. I'm looking for it. If they do it right, that could be a good show.
We shall see.
Yeah. All right. That's enough.
Okay. All right.
We could talk forever about Star Wars and Star Trek. At least I could. You can't because you didn't watch them all.
That's right. So, all right. So let's get to some tech. So I'm sure that you've got a couple of stories out there. So why don't we start with that? And then I will fill in the gaps.
All right. So have you ever?
Yes.
That's good. I like that. So you know how it goes. Tell me how you fixed it. Okay.
Control Alt Delete.
Have you ever got a call from one of your clients saying that their ISP contacted them, and the ISP told them, "Hey, we got a call you're on the list from the government. I'm not sure who the list was from. Somebody, some three-letter organization contacted the ISP saying, this IP is sending out bad traffic. And of course, the ISP looks up that IP, finds who has that IP, and notifies them. So I had that happen.
I think I've had that happen one time. And I think I either found a Trojan or something like that, but it wasn't one of my managed clients. So I was able to turn them into a managed client after that.
So, and I'm sure you probably fixed it. So how did you find the Trojan? I mean, because they just gave you the public IP. So my client just says, hey, they told me, well, that's not exactly true. I called the ISP and I said, you got to give me more than just we saw bad traffic.
Right.
I need something. So what traffic? What's the destination IP? What port? I mean, give me something. So they gave me a bunch of information. And since they were not doing any logging, I just documented what it was. Well, it was great. I can't do anything about it, but at least I know what it is. Right. So then I told the client, we have to turn on logging, have a watch guard, turn on logging. I said, when it happens again, let me know. It took a month. They called back. And they said, hey, you're on the report again. It was from like 9 days ago. I'm like, okay, so you got the report. It takes you 9 days to contact me? Okay. But gave me the information again, same exact destination IP, same everything. And I said, okay. I said, is this some kind of honeypot y'all are running? I said, this is the same IP you gave me last time. Y'all have to be monitoring this. And he says, yeah, I think it is. It's somewhere overseas. But since logging was running, it's just a simple query in the logs. Found it. Culprit was the terminal server.
Mm-hmm. What was it doing?
Okay. So then I'm thinking, wait, if the terminal server has bad stuff, bad traffic coming from it, why didn't the managed antivirus alert? It should, right? It should. I go, look. And guess what?
No AV.
And no AV turned on.
So it was installed, but not turned on and active.
Agent was installed, AV turned off. Not installed. AV not installed. I'm like, well, that's helpful. So turn it on. Found a bunch of stuff in one user's profile. Bitcoin mining.
Oh. On purpose, huh?
Well, no. I think it was some. No, she had no idea what that would do. So she got something in her profile running that was trying to phone home for some kind of Bitcoin mine. So
wow,
easy enough to fix, right? I just blew away her whole profile, created a new one, deleted the whole content of the profile. So easy enough to fix. But with logging, it's easy. You have to turn logging on.
Right.
Most of these places, most routers or UTMs, whatever you want to refer to them as, have, especially business class, have the ability to log. But you've got to do something extra to retain any history of logs.
Right. You've either got to have a syslog or a consistent saving of the log somewhere.
Right. So if it's just the normal stuff, you're not going to get but maybe an hour of log files. And it's in the memory.
Right.
And of course, when they call you 9 days later, you're not going to have that. So I don't know. I mean, do you turn on logging by default on most places to retain logs?
We will turn on the live log monitor for everybody. So that way, if they do say something, I can go into the Sonic wall and I can just go to view log and it's got stuff going.
Yeah. I can't get here. What's blocking me?
Right. Plus there is data collection that I always turn on that will, you know, kind of keep a history of the top sites you know, web hits, bandwidth usage by IP address. So that's always on. We don't always have a syslog or someplace where logs are saved. That is only for the customers that are going to pay the extra for compliance, and they have to keep those things. So to answer your question, most do not have their logs saved.
Now, when you do log in, do you do it to a central log server that you on your servers, or do you log it locally for them?
On the ones that we're doing, we do it locally for them. I don't keep it on my stuff. I used to when I had my SonicWall global management appliance that I did have here, I did keep that on there. But since SonicWall has quit making that and it's all in the cloud, I'm considering going with their, I forget what they call the SonicWall as a service, and you can keep everything in the SonicWall cloud. I just haven't done that because, well, most of my customers won't pay for that extra thing.
Yeah. So, it's so rare that I need to go back that long in the logs. I could always just do it. Most of ours, well, our big clients, we have logging to our login servers. But for most of them, turn on them as needed. But in this case, it shouldn't have even been a problem because the AV should have been turned on.
Right. So somebody get in trouble for that?
So I don't know who didn't turn it on. And basically, I guess whoever created that client in the SolarWinds dashboard put the default action for AV to either off or use parent, which is off. So when they installed the agent, the AV didn't install because it was set to off for servers. So I don't know why that was set to off.
And no follow-up to make sure that all services were running,
So that's another issue, right? Whoever installed the agent should have looked and made sure it loaded properly with all the AV turned on.
Right.
Yeah, that's another issue. So yeah, that's a trainable, teachable moment to have them remember to follow up on this stuff. Don't just load the agent and be done with it. So that's a quality control issue.
Now, you don't have anyone dedicated either to watching the dashboard and the alerts and all that stuff, because I know how you love alerts.
I love alerts, yes.
Because for what I do is, of course, each morning I get up and I actually, as part of my routine, one of the first things I do in the day, whether I have to do it from my house or when I get to the office, is I will check the dashboard, I open it up, and I actually will go through and look for problem servers. That's the first place I go, which usually there's, you know, just a few things, and they're not really major, but I, you know, check to see if a server restarted and didn't come back up, or if the service wasn't running, that sort of thing. And then I'll go to the workstations, but I, obviously, being a one-man shop, I can't look at every single workstation in my dashboard and keep track of it. But I have the alerts that they are set up to go either to my mail or to SMS. So that's how I keep track of stuff. I know you love it.
None of that goes to me because it's overload and you end up watching none of it. That does go to some of the other people in the company. So I have a question. When you look at your dashboard,
mm-hmm.
is it all red or is it all white?
It's black. It's white. I don't understand what you mean by all
red. Like the status, right? If you look at the little, where they have the client name or the site name, you got the little person next to it. It's either red or it's what, clear or gray or something?
Mine's all gray.
Okay. Yours is all gray. So... I'm very happy for you.
I have a mixed race dashboard.
Okay.
I think I understand what you're saying. I have turned it off. Yeah, I don't want everything to show up as red because most of it would. But I also don't have a ton of checks that would cause it to go red. I mean, for instance, when I get up in the morning, there's maybe 2 or 3 servers that will show with an alert. Okay. Workstations, there's usually more, but.
Yeah. So we don't have a lot of servers in the red, and they're red for known issues for mostly. So it's not that bad. What I do, I will check it every morning to see if a server's not responding.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, that's about my limit when I check for.
So I'm trying to think.
I would need somebody full time to go through the dashboard if I was reasonably going to be sure that someone could check on these. And this is cleaned up now, right? Remember, we cleaned it up. We deleted all the stuff we're not using. Over 1,500 workstations and almost 200 servers.
This is after you adjusted for the billing beyond 30 days, right?
Yes, this is cleaned up. That's the ones that are active. So I don't have time to go through that. I would need somebody full time to go through that. So the AV not being on that one server is an issue, caused a problem. But
and that's something that actually wouldn't even show up as an alert anyway.
Well, if you went to your logic cards, if you were monitoring logic cards, it would tell you, hey, you don't have AV on so many workstations or so many servers. It would tell you. But again.
Right, but that's something where you actually have to look at the logic cards.
Yeah. But if you just looked at the column, if you just sorted all your servers and went down a list of the AV shield, you can see, you know, there's no green dot or the yellow dot. You can see with just a quick scroll who doesn't have the AV turned on. And I'm looking at it now.
Okay. All mine are green.
Yeah, so you can see if the dot's missing easily.
Right.
Or if it's yellow. So, again, that's the quality. And that might be a benefit of a one-man shop versus a 6 or 7 tech shop where I can't go behind every single thing that everybody does to see if it's done right. And I know over on Podnut Show, they were talking about the one-man shop versus a larger group. And the one-man shop says, well, I can't take vacations. I can't be sick. And that to a potential client might look bad that you only have one person. Right. They may want somebody who has backup to you, 3, 4, 5 people. Now, you could argue as a one-man shop, I have a higher quality control. Nothing is touched without me touching it. So there may be a shop that has 10 people, 12 people, 20 people, but how many of them are doing it correctly? So I'm not saying that every 10, 12 man shop is doing something wrong, but again, there's things that slip through the cracks that I find almost daily that I would do differently. I found a client sent me a spam mail, which was caught by my spam filter. I love when clients forward me spam, by the way, just like I love
alerts. Is it spam? Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get it.
So I get the email for the spam quarantine for the address we use for our support system. And I see this. I'm like, okay, somebody forwarded spam. So I release it. I look at it. And it looks like it was sent from their own domain. But it's not, because you can look in the headers and see it was sent from some other domain. And the headers show this other IP passed SPF validation. Like, how could this pass SPF validation? This is not their mail service IP or anybody. So I go look at the SPF record.
So wait a minute. So it was another domain, but it showed their IP address as the sending server?
No, it said it's from their domain, but from some other IP.
Okay, different IP address, but their domain.
Yes.
Okay.
So from bob@abc.com to bob@abc.com.
Okay.
But the IP that it sent from was in Italy, and it's not abc.com's email address or IP address. So, and then it said past SPF validation. So I took a look at the SPF record that we manage, and the end says, for those who don't know SPF syntax, you can do dash all, tilde all, or question marker plus all, right? If you do plus all, it's like saying, allow mail from these sources and anyone else. Basically,
the whole world can send mail through your server. So
it didn't really, or is authoritative to send mail on your domain name's behalf. So that's what they had. That's what we had. We had the plus all. We had mostly the right stuff in the record, but then we ended it with plus all, meaning, these specifically, but anyone else too. So what's the point of that? So that's why this spoofing was coming through, because we are saying anyone in the world can send mail as this domain name. So I had to fix that. Again, that's something that should have gone out, but did. So and I guess technically it's my job to make sure all this stuff is done right. But for me to make sure all this stuff is done right, I wouldn't be able to do any tickets of my own.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because earlier this year, there was supposed to be a little changing of the guard at your place, and you were supposed to, you know, become the official supervisor, Matt, to make sure the techs were doing their jobs and follow up on them. And I was saying,
It's still my job to make sure I'm still the senior, the service manager, right? I'm still in charge of all the techs. I'm still supposed to make sure they do their job, but we got busier. Oil fields picking up, our clients are picking up, we are getting pretty busy. I've got new servers going out, new customers, new clients, but they need new servers, new clients that have new servers that are messed that we got to redo. It's pretty busy right now, so there's no way that I could not do tickets.
Sounds like you need to hire another tech.
I can probably hire two techs, to be honest with you.
Okay. And?
I don't think that's going to happen.
No room at the end? No more space at the office? Or?
We got space. But it's just, so the thing is, who do you hire? I don't have time to train somebody. I would need somebody that knows what they're doing, but I still have to go behind them,
right,
and make sure they're doing it right. It's just it's at a point right now where it's just.
Why don't you give yourself a title change? Why don't you become VP of operations and then hire a service manager?
That's a good idea. Then I could say, "Listen here, service manager, if you need me, I'll be on the golf course."
There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to run that by my partners and see it. And they got one vote for that. I'll vote for that.
There you go.
I just need one more vote.
I'll come over and help pitch that for you. I'll be your political action committee member.
Yeah, it's really busy. I've got three new servers that I'm getting ready that I need to go out. Email migrations, a lot of just regular workstation installs that I need to go out. God, because we do workstations installs, new workstation installs. I don't know how many you do. I don't think one day goes by where someone is not bringing a new computer on site for someone.
I can't say I do them every day, but I definitely do them every week. But I'll do anywhere from 2 to 10 at a time. I just delivered 7 2 weeks ago down to Miami, and I've got 12 that I'm actually getting ready to stage that are going to go across the state to an office opening in St. Pete.
I mean, I did four today by myself. I did four. Now, the ones I do, I prepped them and either shipped them out because they're going in the field. And then once they're there, I connect remotely and finish it for the person. Or if they're going to be joined to the domain at an office, a lot of times a client will come pick it up. I'll connect remotely and finish it. But I think I did four. I think I did four today. I think I gave it like four or five yesterday. I mean, that's just the workstations. Yep. That's not on the servers I have on my bench that I'm getting ready. New domains with email migrations from whatever they had to host. It's nonstop right now. But I like doing the new servers. Doing a new server, new domain, that's nice because you get it set the right way. You don't have to inherit somebody's garbage that they didn't know how to set up correctly. Yeah. I like doing new servers and new domains.
I interrupt this story. Remember my customer that I told you about that hadn't paid their bill and got the ransomware, didn't want to do anything about it. They called again.
Wow.
This time, the server wouldn't boot up. So, I told them that really can't help you. You've got three outstanding invoices. And I don't know if you're going to pay for this. Depending on what this is, because I don't know if it's something that I can fix right away and get you up and running, or if the server, I think the server was 9 years old.
What OS is running on there?
It was 08.
Okay.
SPS 2008. But I told him, I said, you know, even if I can, you know, if it's something that, you know, if it's not a file system or hard drive or something, you know, even if I have to replace the hard drive, it's going to be a few $100s. If it's more than the hard drive and it's a controller, which for this server was an onboard controller, it wasn't even a separate, controller card. That means I'm going to have to replace the board, the main board. And I'm like, you know, that alone is going to be probably $1,000.
I wouldn't even offer that. I said, if it's the board, you get the new server.
I said, that's if I can find it. And so it was this whole mess. And I'm like, you really need a new server. You need a new network. So what's the best way I can describe this? So they cried.
If they haven't found a new IT person yet,
I don't even think they're looking. I did. Now, let me at least give a little bit of background. Turns out they are kind of hurting for business. They're in an industry where they're struggling. They have a situation where there are people now can do what they do at a very affordable price. They're in an entertainment industry where, you know, companies can now hire low-cost DJs and MCs. People can do a lot of their own production values. This was a company that they would put on shows, and, you know, they would be the ones where you would rent equipment from, you know, microphones and stage hands. And so they are struggling. I'm not going to belittle that part of their business. But at the same time, they're still in business and they need things to work. You got to pay to keep things working. So
you didn't offer them the option of catching up with their past due invoices to look at their issue?
Nope.
Perfect time to collect on old.
Well, I mean, I offered it to them, but they had to do that before I would look at
the server. Oh, yeah, that's a condition. As soon as we're caught up, you know, we can.
That was
we
can it. And she basically said, I can't do that. I said, well, I'm not going to invest. I'm not even going to come out to see you unless you
surely you have to understand that. I mean, they don't give away their product for free to people who haven't paid. I mean, if he had that type of customer, he would say, and the customer kept calling, he'd be like, "Well, you didn't pay for the last four rentals. Why would we?" He's got to understand this. He's got to see it.
That's a her, and she does. So basically, the only thing that's happened is I've received one check. So they paid one of the three invoices outstanding.
And it cleared?
Yes.
Because I'll tell them, as soon as we get the check and they clear, we can talk about your next issue. Yeah.
So I'm waiting for the other two. And I offered, I said, we take credit cards. I can get you all squared away today. Give me a credit card. As soon as that acceptance goes through,
they can test the charge and get them after you take care of me.
Well, that's fine, but that's on them to tie up their stuff. And then, but who knows? So the only thing is basically, and what's horrible about this whole thing, they've already lost all their files, all their Word documents and all that stuff from the ransomware because they never got that resolved. What she wanted was the QuickBooks file.
So they weren't backing that up. They didn't learn the lesson?
No. That's good. So it's been about a week. I do expect another call soon. But the bottom line is I have no idea. And, you know, what's so hilarious about this is they don't even need QuickBooks on the server anymore. That could actually have been brought locally because only the one person is using the QuickBooks. They don't have a bookkeeper anymore. They used to have where managers would be able to go in and do QuickBooks stuff for their departments and all of that stuff. That's how small this company has got. They're down to seven computers when they used to have, 20 plus. They're down to really three people in the office. And literally I could get them down to a NAS drive and have their QuickBooks running locally on the owner's PC and have a backup.
You know, I think I'm pretty sure the only reason you need QuickBooks on a server, QuickBooks files can live on a NAS. The only reason you need QuickBooks database manager server is for multi-user,
right?
So if they don't ever use multi-user, you don't even need to load that component. You just put the QuickBooks files.
True, but this is the type of customer where if we did that to them, they would try to make it work. And I'm just going to tell them, no, it's going to be best practice. So if you're ever going to attempt to put it on a server, it needs to be set up in multi-user mode because that'll be the customer that, I'm trying to be nice today because they've got a member there that will try to Google how to do everything.
That's good.
But they won't Google like how to do it the right way. It'll be like, how to run QuickBooks without a server.
Yeah, it's fine. If you don't want to put it in multi-user mode.
So just had to put that out there that I got yet another call from them.
When they call you, you should send them an LGT, what is it? LMGTFY.com link. Let me Google that for you.
Oh,
you that right?
Sorry, because you started LGT. I was like, wait a minute, lesbian, gay, trans, what?
Google. Yeah, you've seen it before, right? Let me Google that for you.
No.
Oh. Are you serious?
I don't have time for.
You've got to go to LG.
Let me know. It's LM.
Yeah, LMGTFY.com.
Okay. Are we going
to? So, what you do is you go to that site. You will type in what you want.
Oh, it's even got the gay rainbow in the G.
So, I think you just type it, and then it's going to give you a link.
It's a search bar.
No, but it's funny the way it does it. Okay. You gotta type in your search, and you've got to get, and just click on preview.
Uh huh.
Let's see what it does.
Step one: visit google.com.
Yeah, It's gonna get, they, when they get a link, this is what the, this is gonna be an automation. This is what they're gonna see. They're gonna do exactly what it is, and that's it. And it's gonna click, sir. And I, it used to say that wasn't so hard, was it? But I don't think it says that anymore.
It said that's it.
Oh, is it? Okay. So it used to say, I'm pretty sure it used to say that wasn't hard or something like that, which is funny.
That was easy.
So I've sent. Yeah, they've updated it since I've been to it.
Oh, look, and they give you a thing, share the link below.
So I've sent can, that to family.
And you can shorten the link. It'd get real technical.
I've sent this to family who called and asked me ridiculous questions that, like, I don't know. It could be something, hey, what time does Walmart close? I'm like, why are you asking me? I'll send them that, and then, like, yeah, that's what Google's for.
You have a phone. Do a search for Walmart local to you.
I know, but some of the questions I get. Anyway, I like that site. I never send it to a client, but somebody like that, you might want to send it to, just to mess with them. I want to know if you ever, if they call you back, because you almost want to. Offer to, I want to see.
But here's the thing. I mean, I'm torn. This is a longtime customer. You know, most of my customers have been with me forever. And this customer, I didn't look them up, but I'm thinking they're close to 17 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't say they're a great customer because they have gone through periods of before where, you know, they paid slow. So, actually, that was this one. So, they've been a customer. No, I'm sorry. They've only been a customer 14 years. Their average day to pay is 52 days.
Oh, I have clients much worse than that. So, 52 days. I have clients over 90.
So, that was a problem. But, you know, it's one of those things where this is the type of customer where if you help them, they will take advantage. And I just... You know, I get to a point where I treat them like a drunk family member. I'm not going to enable them. By the way, I don't have any drunk family members. I apologize if I offend anybody with that, but I'm not a very good enabler.
Yeah, so it's hard. Yeah, a long-time client, you want to help them, but almost in good faith. I'll get this data, but that's it.
Right. Which I've done before, and then everything's good for a while, but then it comes up again. And I get it, you know, guys, you're behind again, or, you know, they want to do a project, but they want to do it at half price. No, can't do that.
I mean, they did. How recent was this check that they got? Was it recently they got?
The one they just sent?
Yeah, they just sent
it. Yeah, it was, it was 1 week ago.
And this was right around the time they called you, or they sent the check, then called you, or they called you, then sent
you
the check?
No, they called and sent the check.
Well, I mean, that shows they're trying.
Yeah. But they haven't called again since.
Yeah. Maybe they're hoping that, let's just send them a check. Maybe he'll feel bad and call us back.
They did ask me if I could bill them the whole balance for the three outstanding checks plus what it would have cost to fix them in monthly payments in 3 months, you know, 90 days, same as cash.
Same as your cash.
And I was like, only if we can do credit card and only if you pay the outstanding in full. I wouldn't do the outstanding on the 90 days because you're already over 90 days.
They didn't like the credit card idea?
No. It's a weird little customer. I don't get it.
No trade you can do? You don't need to rent any costumes or
microphones? No. Or I don't need any Star Wars mask or anything like that.
You don't need a Yoda mask?
Mask I'd need, no.
Well, you know, because we had a client, they were a big client years and years ago. They're a big client, had a big building. They got down to where you would walk in that building and you had trouble finding the two or three people left that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't find them. And that, because it was just literally a ghost town there.
Right.
They turned around and are one of our, and really recuperated and like really big customer now.
Let me guess. Mortgage company?
No. So, I mean, they turned it around and I'm not saying they will because their business is probably not at all similar, but you almost want to, and I know my rule is more than yes or no, you got a bill, but there's always exceptions. The long-term client, if it's show a good faith that, look, you try and pay, I'll see what I can do. But I'm not going to spend too much time. I'm certainly not going to incur any costs of ordering parts.
Well, and that's the problem is it would be a substantial thing for me to not only go look at their server. I already know I'm going to have to bring it back to my shop. I'm going to have to, because I told them when they asked me, when I first responded with, if I come and look at it, I need to be in and out in 15 minutes. I am not going to be there half a day trying to figure this out for you.
Oh yeah. I would try and boot it up once. Look, if it's something obvious, fix it. If not, it's coming with me.
Right. And then that was the whole, well, if you take it, how much would it cost? I'm like, I don't know how much it's going to cost until I look at it. But in theory, it should cost you at least $5,000 because you need a new server.
All you got to do is bring it back a different server and say, I fixed it. But how much was it? It was $5,000. It's just give them a new server. Of course, you got to pay for that and then they got to hope to pay you back. But
yes. Well, yeah. And then I got to do the whole domain migration. I mean,
how many users?
There's 7 stations there now.
Yeah. I'm doing a couple right here, but they're an existing customer on old SBS 2008, but we're migrating the mail. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to do a new domain. I don't really want to do migration.
Are you keeping them on an essentials platform to get as close to SBS as possible? Or are you going to go standard?
2016 standard.
Standard.
Yep.
Their mail is now 365. No SharePoint.
One is moving to hosted SharePoint. I have a question for you. Do you think that maybe instead of moving somebody to Office 365, that it's almost preferable to move them to some other hosted solution for email, not Office 365, because of all this phishing that people fall for Office 365?
You mean like your mailbox has 5 queued messages today?
Yeah.
Please contact us to. You know, I'm not sure. Cause, and here's the thing. I have nobody in the Google world.
Well, I wouldn't move them to Google. I mean, there's things like Intermedia. We have some people on Intermedia Host Exchange. There's other services.
Well, AppRiver. Yeah, AppRiver has its own hosted exchange as well, but it's obviously much more expensive than 365, which is part of the problem right now. Everybody sees the cost of 365. And for people that had on-premise and saw their, what they see is they think of a server as a one-time expense and they don't really count your maintenance of that server. They just know that they're not paying monthly for mailboxes. So it's a big jump for them a lot of times to think that they're going to be paying $5-6 per month per mailbox.
I know they see that, but what they don't understand is you got to size the server accordingly. So you're getting a bigger server to manage the email.
Right.
Now your backup solution has to incorporate that. So, I mean, there's costs involved with all of that and roughly equates to the same thing. Not to mention that if your internet goes down, more than likely your mail is going to be down because, I know you can have, and we have the same thing, like the mail ashore where you can queue your mail and send it, see, and you know, but for the most part, your mail is down if it's on premises.
Right.
But they won't fall for this. They won't fall for the phishing attacks.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Are other services also getting phishing attacks? That because I can see, again, I don't know any, but I can't imagine that there's not other phishing attempts. You're still susceptible to ransomware unless you've got the right protection. So that is not.
Yeah, then I got to fall for the specific Office 365 phishing attempt. And here's another question. We have moved clients to Office 365. They never once prior got any Office 365 phishing attempt. As soon as they go to Office 365, they start getting the phishing attempts. What are they checking? Are these people checking MX records?
They have to be. Because you're right. I've noticed that. Although mine has been down, I haven't seen that many. So I don't know what the trigger is. And I don't know if it's the ones that I don't have on the web protection or the, you know, the secure surf, secure tide. I'm trying to think of what the difference is because I've only seen, I saw the one the other day and that was from my not-for-profit that they're on 365, but they have no additional protection.
Because if it's an MX record, that's easy to work around. You get a third-party spam filter, make that your MX record, and then send it to Office 365. But I don't like that these things start almost right after you move them to Office 365. I mean, so you've noticed that too, right? They don't get it until they move to Office 365.
You know what? I guess that's been the case. I just assumed that was a new thing in the last year because I didn't see those. I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, I guess because the others were your mailbox is full from your Office 365 administrator, which and I'm like, no, you're never going to get that from your network administrator because I'm your network administrator.
I have never seen one of these things. Like we have people in Intermedia. I've never seen one of my intermediate people get an Office 365 phishing email.
I have a feeling that's going to change. I think that there's going to be so much mail going out. It's not going to matter. But yeah, you're right. They probably do grab MX records to start. Yeah, the one I saw last week was the one that said your mailbox failed to sync and return 5 incoming mails.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that one.
That was the first time I saw that.
They change. I mean, the specific wording changes every week or two. And there's no way to prevent them, of course, right? Because anyone can send mail to anyone. This is up to your spam filter.
Well, especially if you have the plus all USPF.
Yeah. I mean, this is up to your spam filter to catch this, but it's hard for spam filters to catch these things because the way they craft the message to bypass spam filters. So. I mean, unless you know, I've never heard of any way to block these messages.
I'll have to go back and try to look at which domains have stuff come through because just about all my clients now are either on Office 365 or will be on Office 365 because since we talked about Exchange servers last, I think I have now only 2 on-prem Exchange servers.
I've got quite a few out there still. I mean, we're moving some.
And everybody else.
Surely.
Everybody else is on 365, but my firms that are on the hosted exchange don't get that because it's not Office 365. And currently, the only one getting these 365 messages are my not-for-profit client that doesn't subscribe to any of the additional services. They're direct with Microsoft and not through AppRiver. So
I wonder if somebody at Office 365 is feeding these domains to people. Hey, these guys just signed up. Here's no domain name. It's just uncanny. The people I have that aren't on Office 365 never get those messages.
Well, maybe I need to go back and do some dark web scanning. Because
I'm just curious if other people are seeing that. We have quite a few people with in-house on-prem Exchange servers, and they don't get them. They don't get them. So I don't understand this. And we just moved a client in the past month to Office 365, a big client. Okay. And I know they never got those. And I told them, you're probably going to start getting phishing emails. They're not real. And what do you know? A week later, they started forwarding them to me. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I said, that's phishing. Don't click on it. So now I just warn them when they're moving, you're going to get these fake emails starting very soon. Don't click on them. Office 365 is not going to send you an email. You are not an administrator for Office 365. There's no reason for them to send you mail. Just delete it. And they start getting them. On one other note, guess what I did today?
You got back from vacation.
That was not today. We broke out the flu.
Wait a minute. You broke out like it was held captive. You busted it out of
its little bag, in the drawer, and we were playing with it, testing with it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like start getting more use now. I guarantee you.
Did you do it there in the office? Would you have like a little demo party? What happened?
Well, we were testing in the office. Yeah.
Okay.
So we were testing good cables, then we break a pin and we test it and we do this. So we were doing quite a bit of testing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did it go?
Good. I mean, the tech I was playing with it, me and him were testing, and he said, man, I like this. I said, well, good. Start using it. It costs enough money. It's just for y'all to use.
Okay. But here's the thing though. Did you hook it up to your network and actually let it scan and find devices?
Let's start with some of the testing that we did.
Check your managed switch ports, and did it, you know, send you information? Did you create a live account, a link live account?
No, I created a live account. I mean, no, we just started baby steps here.
It's been a year.
Well, babies at a year can't walk.
It's 9 months.
But I guarantee you, it will be used more from this day forward. It'll be used a lot.
All right.
More.
I'm gonna make a note here that I'm gonna go back to what I was doing before, where I'm gonna ask you every time you're in the show, have you used a fluke? Speaking of the fluke, should I make this announcement? Yeah, I'm gonna make this announcement.
You get a new one?
I don't know yet. But I have opened up negotiations to have NetScout on the show.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
You have certain demands they have to meet?
Yes. Give me your free fluke and you can be on the show.
Well, they gave you one for half price.
That was a special to everybody, though. Yeah, I finally got a response from them, and I'll be having a chat soon, and we could have NetScout on the show talking about the handheld network testers.
Nice. That's nice. So here's the thing. Now that we're using it, my techs need to really read the documentation, RTFM, and find out what this thing can do. So
I'd be happy to do a training session for you.
You gonna fly out here?
I can, you know, you get me a per diem, and I'll come out there and I'll bring both of mine and assist.
We have a Burger King nearby. Okay. It's like $6 for a meal. We can get you three of those.
Did I tell you? I'm trying to remember if the company that I do the sub work for that I had to go out and help them find a door access control. I think I just did an update on the show. I don't think you and I were talking about that, where I went out to, they wanted me to go out and find out where this door access control system was, because they had to keep it on site, even though they had a new one for logging purposes. It was there, it was connected to the network, but they couldn't tell what port it was connected to, what the IP address was. So I go out there, and I'm out there for maybe 10 minutes. I just plug in the Fluke to the cable and tell them, okay, here's the switch you're connected to, here's the port you're connected to, here's the IP range that I get, the IP address I get, here's the VLAN. And I simply forward them my Link Live email with all this information. And I went, so I did that, left. But I had to come back because the people, for some reason, could not configure the port to connect to that door access. So they actually had to have the company that installed the door access control come out. They were going to give them a new IP address with a new VLAN and see if they couldn't get that working. And they never did. I was out there today, as a matter of fact, and I asked them, I said, whatever happened with that? She said, and the office manager told me, she goes, oh, it's still not working.
Wow.
I have no idea. So I have to go back out tomorrow. They're getting a new copier. And my job is to go out and make sure it connects to the network. And then the copier guy is going to configure it. And then the guys in New York are going to do their configuration, put it in the group policy for printing, and then I have to log in and test it. And I will be taking the Fluke with me just for that.
So do you want to know why we're using the Fluke more?
Because I shamed you into it?
No, because the old DSP we have is...
It died?
No.
It died?
It's dying. It doesn't work very well.
No. But you know, well, here's the thing, though. The Fluke isn't going to do the certification that you're looking for out of the DSX.
No, it does. Well, we don't. It doesn't do certification, but it will.
It'll do
it
basic.
It will test the cable. It'll tell you if it's open pins or not. Yes. It'll tell you what speed you're getting.
Right.
I'm not. We used to provide reports from the DSP because you could save the report on the DSP. We don't do that really much anymore. But at least now, this is actually nicer because if you want to test the cable with the old one, I had to go plug in one on one side, one on the other side. With this one, I can just unplug it from the computer or printer, plug this, run a test. If everything's good, it's going to pass. It's going to give me link speed, right? If there's an open pin or something, it's going to give me issues.
Well, actually, the very first thing it'll do is test the cable, and you'll get a green check or a red X.
So I don't have to go plug in anything on the other side.
Correct.
From what I can tell from my testing, the only reason I got to go plug in some to the other side is to get more information if the cable's bad.
Right. If you want to do true cable testing, then you put in the remote, one of the remotes, you know, at the switch port or, I mean, the panel port or whatever, and then you can get more information. But at that point, you're actually looking for, I have the Cable IQ, which is a little more of a cable tester than the Fluke. But the Fluke is, we'll do your basic stuff, yes.
We just want to make sure the cable's good. We have a client we're putting a new server in, and it's a new client. So I said, well, you know what, we actually have to redo the cabling because the server and the cables go to a downstairs room, but they built a new room directly above it. And the cables come from that room down. So we're just going to cut the cables, pull them up, and terminate them in the new room. I said, well, look, this is a new client. Let's test the cabling as it is now. Because I don't want to cut this cabling and move it, and then there'd be a problem. They're going to say we caused it.
Right.
I said, let's go ahead and test the cabling. Before we do anything, let's test it as it is. So I sent the guys out there because I want a baseline. every cable failed. Every cable failed.
Really?
Yes. Open pins, noise, everything. It all failed. I said, "Phew, I'm glad that I did that, because we do this and cut it. Well, you know, once you cut the cable, you own it."
I was going to say, so you were going to cut the cable and re-terminate.
We're going to cut the cables, pull them all up to the new room,
mm-hmm.
put them in the new patch panel, and then make sure it worked. But I wanted the baseline before we cut the cables.
Did you have anywhere there was...
We didn't do a job yet, but we're going to go... We tested them. Now we have right. to go... Now they know we can prove that they're bad.
Right, but
so now...
Were any of them showing that the cable was bad, like in the wall? Like, you know, you had a 100-foot cable, but the issue was at 50 feet.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that's really...
Somewhere.
Okay, because that's really the big problem, is if it was in the wall.
Well, did he tell me he had some noise on the line, one or two of them? But there was none with it. Like, there was a break halfway. And all these cables were working because they're all hooked up to computers.
Yeah, but were they getting 10 meg instead of a...
Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad I sent them over there, because we showed her, look, they're all failing. Instead of just cutting and pull them up, we got to fix the cabling. So now we're going to go in. The plan was to put the server in, and then one weekend or one time, then go up and move it all up. So now we're going to cut the cables, move it up, and do the cabling the right way first. I said, I'm not putting the server in until the cabling is good, because right now, there is a server. Most of the data is local to the computers. And so once we go in with the server, we're going to put the data on the server, back up the server. They're not authenticating to the server, just the work group. So there'll be much more traffic going across that line once the server's in place. Right. So I said, I don't want, this needs to be fixed. And so we showed her how bad it was, which could be accounting for some of their problems, because they're slow, things lock up. They said, well, I'm just glad I tested the cable.
Yes. And now you can probably charge more.
Well, it'd be more work.
Because
we've got to fix every cable, test all the testing. We're going to have to cut it and move it anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, but now you can, in the quote ahead of time, they already know that there's issues. So it's not like it would be something where, as you're doing it, you tell them, oh, this is a lot more work, because they already know it's going to be a lot more work.
Oh, it's going to be more money because they want it on a weekend.
No, there you go.
So that's time and a half.
So you know what's going through my head is, because I know you're not going to be the one there on the weekend.
No.
So you're going to have to walk in Monday morning and ask somebody, how did it go?
Oh, no. I know. They're going out on a Saturday morning, and I'll probably text them or call them.
You'll check in with them.
Probably check them Saturday afternoon, because the cabling has to be fixed by Monday morning. So I'm probably going to check with them Saturday afternoon, but my involvement will be a text message saying, how's it going? When clients ask me, can we do this on Saturday, especially for a project, I always tell them, I'm happy to do it. It's going to be time and a half.
You're not happy to do it.
No, well, we. But then I say, I'll have to see if I have a couple of techs available for a weekend, because if they're not available, we can't do it. I say we as a whole. My job is to make sure that they do it.
Mm.
It's that quality control thing. In this case, it'll be a text. And what I want to hear back is yes or no, or what's the estimated time of completion.
Here's a question. If it's more than a yes or no text back, do you bill?
If it's more than yes or no on a text, they need to call me back and explain. I'm not trying to send me a text. This client is the closest. It's a new client. There cannot be a closer client to my house than this client. This client is right outside of my neighborhood. If I leave my neighborhood and I would go straight across the street, bam, I run into their building. It cannot be closer.
So if they knew what you looked like and they just happened to look out the window at the right time, they could see you?
Oh, they'd see me driving back and forth. When I leave my house, they would see me. Now, you would think that being that close, I might go check in on him Saturday and see how it's going.
Well, no, because you don't want to set that precedent.
No, I'm just going to text him. I tell him, look, I would like to show up, but it's so far away.
Do your techs know that you live that close?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I could walk to their office. I mean, I'm not going
you
to,
know the tech. Oh, I'm sorry, we ran into a problem. Let me go get Matt. Walk across the street.
Yeah, they cannot be any closer. I mean, there's no business that can be closer to my house than this client. Which is nice if I leave work one day and I got to check on a quick issue, I can just do it on the way. Because I have another client that's a block away, and I just like to. I always schedule with them, and they only want me, so I always schedule them right before lunch or right after lunch. Usually right before, because that guy gets hungry. And if you do it right after lunch, they can talk all afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
But if you schedule before lunch, he gets hungry and he wants to go to lunch.
Got to go. Yeah.
So you just fix the problem and then he goes to lunch. So.
Speaking of lunch, let me ask you this. So I have a customer that is upgrading software. And I think I have upset the vendor.
I do that all the time.
Because they sent me a bunch of instructions without me knowing that we were doing the upgrade. So, of course, the first thing I did was, hang on. Somebody needs to call me and explain to me what we're doing. And I need to make sure that this is okay to be done on the network. This is one of my, well, this is my dental, not, I mean, laser surgery clinic, you know, that they're trying to be HIPAA compliant, but yet they don't do anything.
They try.
So
do or do not. There is no try.
So they send me all of this stuff where, you know, we're going to have a tech show up and install this and do this. And we're going to set up a, they said there was the VPN. As soon as they put VPN there, I said, stop it. You're not doing anything unless I can see it. I need to talk about this. So, of course, then they doubled back. Oh, well, we're not going to do any of this. We're going to, you know, all we're going to do is set up a remote server for them to RDS into. And I said, okay. And then why did you send something that said VPN in the documentation? Oh, well, that's if we, so, of course, what happened was they're used to having full control over networks that either don't have an IT person or... Yeah. You know, they put a server on-prem or something, who knows. But all they're doing for this customer is making a RDS server for them in the cloud, which sounds to me like it's really just something either in their data center, because they're talking about physically building a server. This is not a virtual cloud server. And so I asked them, I said, so you want to send out a tech to do the installation? You can't do that. You of all people should know that that person will not have access. Well, we're going to have somebody with admin rights give us access to the workstations. And I said, that would be me. So then they asked about, you know, when can they schedule a tech to meet me at the office? And I spent all this time trying to coordinate, because this is an office where the doctors never like to be disturbed during the workday. So if he's doing something and he asks a nurse to do something or somebody at a computer to do something, and the computer's not available, he gets very upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's common.
So I went through this whole thing of finding a Friday afternoon when the doctors are leaving early. And so I said, great, 3:00, you can come in. We're only doing a couple of workstations. So I sent them the thing, 3:00, whatever. I get a response back. That's not a good time. All of our techs are scheduled for 4-hour windows, and we never schedule them after lunch.
Hmm.
So and I said,
the only time is 8 to noon?
I said, so what's the latest you could have a tech show up? I said, because by that definition, I can have a tech show up at noon for a 4-hour window. And they're like, well, yeah, we can do that. And I'm like, whatever. But how aggressive, maybe that's not the right word. How do you handle vendors like that normally? Just a random question.
Yeah, if they were going to give me some kind of like that, or I'm going round and round with a scheduling conflict, I'm going to conference in somewhere at the office and say, look, I'm available here. They're telling me they're not. I said, so we need to schedule this. I'll involve the client usually on a conference call because I want the client in listen to the ridiculousness that their vendor is trying to feed me.
Well, it's funny because this is copied. Their administrators copied on all these emails. So it's not like they're out of the loop. And I actually called the administrator at first to say, okay, I need a day that will be the least disruptive to the doctors. So the administrator was the one who gave me the window. So I sent the reply back and we'll see how they respond tomorrow.
Yeah. So I had a vendor today email a client. And the client forwarded email to me that they're having some new piece of equipment installed. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be coming on site to install this piece of equipment. But they had a 3 or 4 page long PDF document of all the requirements of the network in order for this to go smoothly. And basically it was to make sure ports and websites aren't being blocked because this thing communicates externally and it comes in like, you know. And I said, great. So this is no problem. I just need to know the MAC address of the unit you're bringing. And I'll create a reservation. I'll create policies and I'll make sure nothing's blocked. And of course, they still haven't given me the MAC address. We have 2 or 3 emails back and forth. And they say, well, we just need to make sure this is done prior to us showing up to ensure a smooth install. I'm like, great. I understand. You said the first time. I said, in order to ensure your smooth install, I need the MAC address of the unit you're going to bring. And they replied back, basically saying the same thing. Just make sure that this stuff's not blocked. And I said, okay, I cannot make sure it's not blocked unless I know what device I need to allow. I need the MAC address. And this is going out to the administrator of the company. It's going out to the vendors. We're on the same email chain. And they still have it. Oh, no, they replied saying, well, we can't schedule coming out until we know this stuff is done. I said, I'm telling you, I can't do it unless you give me the MAC address.
How hard is it to get a MAC address? So it sounds like they haven't even got the equipment yet.
That's what it sounds like. I said, as soon as you give me the MAC address, I can do this. It will take me 5 minutes once I get the MAC address to allow this. I said, but I can't do anything else until you give me the MAC address. So if you want a smooth install, you need to give me the MAC address. I said, now I can tell by looking over the list, I don't think anything would be blocked because this is all standard websites that it wants to go to. But in order to ensure a smooth install, and then I put, as far as network connectivity goes, I need the MAC address. And they don't give it to me. Mm. And I called my client. I said, you see these emails going back and forth, right? She says, yeah. I said, so I'm trying, but they're not giving me any information to work with. She goes, I know. Well, I just have to hope that they respond. I'm like, okay, well, just so you know, I can't do anything until they provide the information. I said, even if they show up with the device at hand, I can do it right then. I can't do anything else until. And I said, even they might just come and plug it in. It may work fine. I said, but they're not giving me anything. But that's the thing. Vendors so frequently just... One, that they don't call ahead, they're on site.
Right.
And they call. They're there now. That's good. Did you know you were going to be there now? Or did you just blink yourself like I Dream of Jeannie and just show up? I mean, you knew you were going to go. Why couldn't you give me some heads up?
Okay, so we're way over what I thought we were going to be for the show tonight. So today... I get a call. Well, let's go back. So about a month ago, I get a call from a client saying, we're getting a new copier installed. We want you to be on site when it's installed. It's, you know, going to be scheduled for this day. They are going to be there at 9. You shouldn't have to be there until 10. Can you make sure? I'm like, sure, not a problem. Schedule it. I get confirmation earlier this week. Hey, is this still good? Yes, it's going to be great. I get confirmation yesterday afternoon. So I go this morning. I get there at 10 a.m. The copier's not arrived yet.
Oh, see, okay, personally, I would have called before I left. Hey, I'm still coming. Is that good? But go ahead.
Well, I'm going to start doing that now for this customer because of this. Because this is now the second time that they have scheduled something. And when I say schedule, I mean this company goes out of their way to really dig in with their schedule. And I'm always scheduled to be there towards the end of an installation. And in this case, it was something where 90% of the time, they're good. But today was the second time that I showed up and the vendor, in this case, a copier company, wasn't there. So the office manager starts calling around to find out, okay, is the appointment still on? Are they coming? So I hear her. I'm standing at her desk while she's talking. And the texts are like, well, we got to go call and see where they are. We got to do this. And then they call back. Well, they're scheduled for 9 a.m. Meanwhile, it's 10:30. And we're like, we know it was scheduled for 9, but they're not here. To make a long story short, I call the people that scheduled me, which is another IT company that works for this company. And I tell them, I said, guys, obviously the window that I was supposed to be here isn't really going to work. I've scheduled stuff for after the fact. I need to go and do this other stuff. You can call me later in the afternoon and see if I can come back. So 12 o'clock comes. I'm back here at the office. And they say, well, the copier came, but there's no tech.
So how did the copier get there? Delivery driver? Delivery person?
That's what it sounds like. So then I get a call from the other IT company and they're trying to schedule for tomorrow. And they're like, well, they're going to come in. Can you be here? Can you make it? I said, look, I'm scheduled to be in the office all day tomorrow. Why don't you call me when the tech is there and give me an idea of how long it will take the tech to do their work? I'm about 20 minutes from that office, so I need a 30-minute window to get from my office to yours. That's a good idea. We can do that.
Wow. You're a genius. So sometimes when I have these vendors are supposed to show up and we're supposed to go on site, one, a lot of times I'll either call and make sure that I'm still good, or two, I'll tell my client that I need something from them. I said, look, when they get there, this is what I do a lot of times. I say, when they get there, I want you to have them call me. I need the MAC address. Before I go on site, I want the MAC address. And I don't even come. Because they haven't called me the MAC address. Right. He's either not there or he hasn't even gotten it yet.
Well, that's the way to do it. That's what I do, for instance, Comcast all the time. You know, they have their window. And they want your network administrator on site when they arrive. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be there. You get there and then call me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sometimes my clients will say they want you here at 9. I'm like, okay, if I'm there at 9, you're going to start getting billed if they're there or not. Mm-hmm. You know that, right? And like, oh, well, maybe we can just call you. I'm like, yeah, there you go. That's a good idea. Because I said, no, and I told them, you can call me or we can be there at 9 and we can sit there until he shows up, but the billing is the same because I have a tech that's his time is worth this much per hour. Yeah.
So that was just our vendor discussion. I was just so annoyed sitting there. And the office manager, she's great because that's how she approached it. Whenever she would call somebody, she's like, well, I have my IT guy here and he's billing us to just stand here.
Yeah. Yeah. I like when they say that.
So, oh, he's there. Okay. Let me find out what, you know, and then they scramble.
You should yell in the background. I'm good. Take your time.
That's right. When's my lunch coming?
I order waiter. I can be here all day.
All right. Yeah, we better go before we just tell stories on each other's vendors.
Yeah, so vendors, I would say now it was 9 a.m. Eastern time, right?
Oh,
I didn't clarify, but did we mean 9 p.m., not maybe 9 a.m. Pacific time?
I just tell them, I will not leave my office before 9 o'clock. Because you know how a lot of times, we'll be here as early as you need. You know, 8 a.m., 7 a.m.? No.
Tell them I need you there at 6 a.m. And then just don't show up till 9. Oh, sorry, guys. I misunderstood.
All right, my friend. Sure. Well,
one again. I'd like to come on more, but my hiatuses and my travel.
I was going to say that your vacation period should be over soon. Summer's almost over. Kids will be back in school. You'll be back on the soccer minivan tour, right?
I don't think I'm coaching soccer this year.
No?
I don't. I think that he's not playing soccer. Oh. I haven't got confirmation yet.
Is he upgrading to a better sport? Football?
There's no upgrade, but it would be football. American football.
American football, yes.
It's like a lateral movement. Really?
Yeah, well, that's what those soccer guys do, right? Lateral movements. Linemen do lateral movements.
I just got to tell him one more time, but it's only a 3 or 4 day trip, and it's only to Texas. Nothing exciting.
Yeah, nothing exciting happens in Texas, right?
Not this trip. But that'll be it. I think Texas, and that'll be it for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, my friend, we will be back on again. So by the time this airs, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Because I have no idea when this will air.
So, nice to have shows in the pocket, right? You can release them whenever you can.
Yes, it is. It is.
And since there's nothing we talked about that's date sensitive, you can release it next year if you want to. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter. So I just need to make sure that I release this after the Star Wars show that you listen to so that you can respond.
Yeah. Otherwise, you tell me some kind of weird time warp thing.
That's right. Space-time like, continuum. Oh, wait, that's Star Trek.
Or Sharknado 6.
I am not watching those.
I don't recommend them.
All right, my friend. Well, let's let the listeners go here. Folks, thank you for listening to another episode of Podnuts Pro. Obviously, you could tell this was story night, and Matt and I will be back sometime in the future. We will share more stories. We will share tips. And we will get an update on fluke usage.
Right? It should go up. It should go down. It should go up.
All right. All right, folks. Be sure to head over to Podnuts Pro, listen to some of the other great podcasts, catch up on all of the Podnuts Pro shows. And remember, if you ever have a question or a suggestion for the show, be sure to email Marvin@podnuts.com, and I will respond in kind and try to get your suggestions on the air. And if you do have any more promotional items that you would like to share with Matt as to how he can market his business by sending stuff to his clients for use in public, send those our way as well. All right. That'll be it for tonight's show, everybody. Thank you. Have a good night. And until next time, holla.